transport, e.g. calcium channel transporters. And there are common genetic changes in many cancers, such as P53, the tumor suppressor gene. The different directions of the traffic and the shifting routes of pedestrians represent the genetic changes. They can move in many directions, altering their direction of flow. In the same way, a tumor can contain up to 2,000 different mutations, allowing a tumor to evade genetically targeted treatments. What is less visible is what happens below the surface or at the heart of the cancer. Below the surface is the underground system, the tube or metro system, and this has a finite number of routes. These are like the fuel pipelines of the cancer stem cell. To get to Piccadilly Circus, if one fuel line is blocked, you can travel around the underground and still reach your destination by another line. Similarly, the wily cancer cell is able to reroute and still feed itself with a different fuel source. Unlike the genetic changes, where it can endlessly mutate, below ground there are fewer options for rerouting and better opportunities for blocking its growth. It is the stem cell that is cancer's real Achilles heel, and yet this is currently ignored by the mainstream, which treats only the fast-dividing cells. Explaining the complexity of cancer to a patient with no medical knowledge is hard. My spot of bother chart and my simple cancer starving triangle, while useful, did not really explain the more numerous metabolic routes and the need to use a bigger cocktail. I had worked out how to starve my own cancer, reversing the altered metabolism by blocking each side of my cancer starving triangle diagram. The same combination would also help others in the same way. The combination of both my drug cocktail together with the Care Oncology Clinic cocktail, I believe, would work very effectively on a great many cancers by blocking off a great many pathways at the same time. Cancers that were more aggressive or behaved differently might need more drugs and supplements. I decided to research which other fuel lines other cancers used to make them behave differently, and seek off-label drugs that should be added to my triangle to starve cancers such as triple-negative breast cancer and pancreatic cancers. With much scratching of head, rubbing of chin, contemplative baths, further digging through hundreds of research articles, I have pulled together one comprehensive and, I believe, thorough cocktail of drugs, based on the findings of top researchers working in the field of cancer metabolism, e.g. Professor Thomas Seyfried, the Care Oncology Clinic, Dr. Laurent Schwartz, Professor Gregory Riggins, Professor Michael Lesanti, Dr. George Yu, Dr. Michael Retzky, Dr. Pan Panjeska, Dr. Hamid Alseka, Dr. Abdul Slocum, and many others. The more drugs you add, the less of each you need, as long as they target different pathways. In theory, at least, this means chemotherapy and toxic immunotherapy drugs could be drastically lowered. My hallmarks of cancer. I have identified 5 abnormal processes that happen as a cell becomes cancerous. These steps or hallmarks of cancer are 1. Abnormal cell signaling. 2. Abnormal cell metabolism. 3. Abnormal growth factors. 4. Abnormal immune response. 5. Cell division. A little less confusing, I think, than the Hanahan and Weinberg hallmarks of cancer identified in 2000. Which are sustaining proliferative signaling, evading growth suppressors, resisting cell death, enabling replicative immortality, inducing angiogenesis, and activating invasion and metastasis. All of these were linked to genomic instability and tissue inflammation, and it wasn't until 2011 that they realized they had forgotten the reprogramming of energy metabolism, Otto Warburg's discovery in 1924, and the evasion from the immune system. Duh. Embarrassing. Each step needs to be treated, but it remains clear to me from the published research that tackling the altered metabolism and starving the tumor is key to achieving lasting remission. Abnormal cell signaling. Some of these signals are cause and some of these are effect. Picture a circle which will represent a cell membrane. Now imagine these symbols around that circle: a crescent moon, a star, a trapezoid, a pentagon, and a puzzle piece. These symbols represent the cell membrane receptors that receive these signals. Emerging evidence suggests the cause of cancer is either prolonged exposure to inflammatory cytokines, e.g., the cytokine IL-6 released from deep visceral fat or chronic infection, or prolonged exposure to a carcinogen, or prolonged stimulation of toll-like receptors, or stimulation of growth factors and hormones like IGF-1 and insulin. The toll-like receptors are ancient pathogen pattern detectors, TLR1-9, but mostly 4 and 9 are activated in cancer because IGF-1 and insulin signaling drive growth by increasing nutrient availability. They are included in the next section, the abnormal metabolism. Cancer may be a result of all these factors combined. Research has yet to establish this definitively. How to treat abnormal cell signaling? These differ in individual cancers. You will need to do your own research online and quiz your doctor to find out if your cancer expresses any of the following to determine which of these you need. Hedgehog signaling. This is present in the majority of cancers. Berberine, metformin, and the anti-helminths, worming, mebendazole in particular, are effective treatments against this. Wnt, beta-catenin. Wnt signaling is controlled by MIR-34A, an epigenetically controlled microRNA strand with antiviral activity, so it may be linked to many viral-driven tumors. Deregulation of Wnt signaling is responsible for invasion and progression of herpes viruses, e.g. CMV, Epstein-Barr, HPV. These viruses have evolved to manipulate and control this vital pathway to promote viral propagation, evade host immune recognition, and maintain latency. Wnt also appears to play a part in encouraging bone metastases by interfering with the normal activity of osteoblasts and osteoclasts. And it affects the C-MYC gene and cyclin D1. The cyclin D1 gene is amplified, and the protein overexpressed in many cancers and about one-third of breast cancers. Other Wnt-driven cancers include colorectal, ovarian, and renal, cervical, hepatocellular, and sarcomas. Treatment: aspirin and diprotamol help stymie this abnormal cell signaling. Both also have beneficial effects on bone remodeling and antiviral effects. Niclosamide, NSAIDs, and vitamin D3 also improve this abnormal signaling pathway. Notch. I never had any of these abnormal cell signals tested in my day, but Notch is now known to be associated with cervical cancer. To combat this, the natural flavonoid luteolin is what you need. Unknowingly, I had obtained this naturally in my daily celery-rich vegetable juice, although I now cheat and take a supplement, as luteolin is also an SREBP2 inhibitor. The supplements sulforaphane and quercetin also target this abnormal cell signaling. Notch is associated with an alteration in the surrounding fibroblasts and the gene CMYC. Both may make cancer especially aggressive. Notch-driven cancers, e.g. gastric cancer, head and neck, cervical squamous cancer, some breast cancers, colon, leukemia, glioma, medulloblastoma, might benefit from the drug niclosamide, an old parasitic drug. Evidence shows niclosamide targets multiple signaling pathways, Notch, OxPhos, NF-KB, Wnt, beta-catenin, ROS, mTOR, and STAT3. Treatments: luteolin, sulforaphane, quercetin, niclosamide. All have multiple targets in cancer, but if you take sulforaphane and luteolin, they will need to be stopped temporarily when you want to trigger a kill phase of treatment. TLR4. The role of this toll-like receptor in cancer has only recently been studied, but it is present in head and neck, esophageal, gastric, colorectal, liver, pancreatic, skin, breast, ovarian, cervical, and breast cancer. Treatment: berberine, low-dose naltrexone, LDN. TLR9. This is linked to oncogenic viruses. Treatment: low-dose naltrexone. Professor Angus Dalgleish, oncologist at St. George's Hospital in London, was so impressed after witnessing the disappearance of some advanced tumours that expressed TLR9 using low-dose naltrexone, LDN, he investigated it further and applied for a patent to repurpose the drug for cancer treatment. Despite learning about it in 2001, it was only recently that I decided to begin taking LDN. Since taking it, I have had an improvement in my lymphedema. Happy face. Chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine sulfate, an antimalarial drug, is also a possible treatment for TLR9 that also prevents macropinocytosis. See later in the abnormal metabolism section. Integrins. Integrin protein molecules are located on the surface of cells, spanning the phospholipid, fat, cell membrane, and they normally grip healthy cells in place like Velcro to form tissues and organs. Faulty P53 signaling causes integrins to retreat inside the cell and be sent to the wrong part of the cell surface, allowing the cancer cell to break away and travel in the bloodstream. Evidence is in short supply for treatments, but I hypothesize that dipridamol may have some effect as it has an affinity for protein, so it may help prevent the integrin retreating into the cell, keeping it on the surface of the cell to perform its Velcro-like function. Estrogen receptor. These receptors are found inside cells. They are upregulated in breast, ovarian, and endometrial cancers, but other less obvious cancers may also be estrogen positive, such as gastric and NSCLC, even colon and liver cancers. Indole-3-carbinol, I3C, or DIM, and melatonin help block estrogen receptors, as does metformin. Research in Adelaide, Australia, has shown that double positive, that is estrogen and progesterone positive cancers, fare better than estrogen, ER positive alone. Progesterone given to these double positive patients slowed tumor growth. EGFR, epidermal growth factor receptor. I do not know whether my cancer expressed an active EGFR, but if it did, berberine, EGCG, green tea, and curcumin are natural antagonists, so I already had it covered, or partly at least.